we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
The unexpected's happening and it doesn't fit your schedule. On December 26, 2015, people were sitting in their homes. It was the day after Christmas. They're like, Margaret, wasn't Christmas so great? And then bam, 9 tornadoes hit East DFW, killed 11 people, destroyed so many homes, destroyed apartments, destroyed businesses, buildings, you name it. It was all destroyed. And here we are just like sitting in the rubble. The unexpected happens and it's not pretty. In the middle of sitting in the rubble, though, you might miss the next unexpected thing. See, in hardship, unexpected beautiful things might be on their way. You see, when those tornadoes happened, it wasn't very long till people were driving to East Dallas from all over the globe to help with relief efforts. People reached into their back pockets, pulled out their wallets, and gave money towards the East to the relief effort. What an unexpected, beautiful opportunity. I want you to get this picture. People from Moore, Oklahoma, where 2 years earlier they had faced a tornado, they were sending money for the relief effort. People all the way over across the globe in Nepal who had suffered an earthquake the year prior were sending money for the relief effort. While you're sitting in the rubble, feeling so sorry, and I don't mean to make light of it. It is sad. It is bad. But there is an unexpected, beautiful opportunity on its way. See, that is how God works. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but God has something unexpected for you. Don't miss the unexpected.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Chris Fluitt. This is Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. And you're like, why are you telling me this? I kind of know this. Well, some people might be checking us out on the internet. I want you to know exactly where we are. Where we are, we greet you in Jesus' name. Plano, Texas, Redemption Church. If you're ever in the area, you come and see us. For our friends watching or listening online, Plano, Texas, it's a great city. Isn't it? It's a great city. We love this city. And it's in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. Plano is north of Dallas, Texas. When we describe where we live, we often say we live in North Dallas, don't we? That's what we say. Many of us in this room, we work in Dallas. Real quick, show of hands all over this place. We work in Dallas. Some live in Dallas. Go ahead and raise your hand. We hang out in Dallas. That's pretty much all of us, right? We love Dallas, Texas. We claim Dallas, Texas as our own. On Thursday evening, violence hit our city of Dallas. During a peaceful protest, a lone sniper opened fire on the people providing protection to the protest. That was the police officers. It is sickening in life how thousands could gather in peace, yet a handful can change the dynamic entirely. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that kind of sickening? Yeah. I want to tell you that there is a life lesson there. Your Bible tells us that small foxes can spoil the whole vineyard. All right. Just some small things in your life or small people in your life could actually spoil all the great harvest that ought to be coming into your life. The Bible also says a little yeast affects the whole batch of dough. You didn't know there was some bakery advice there, did you, Pamela? It's in your Bible that a little bit of yeast, it just changes the dynamic of everything. In the end, 14 people were shot, 5 officers killed, and much of America was glued to their TV or to social media. And they were all asking the same questions. They were asking questions like, what? How? Why? The actions on Thursday are just a piece of the strife, fear, heartbreak that we felt this week. There is also the shootings of Alton Sterling and the shootings of Philando Castile. They were shot by police officers in Louisiana and Minnesota, respectively. And we have also stared in disbelief as aftershocks of violence have been present across our nations. We're talking places like Georgia. We're talking places like Missouri. We're talking places like Tennessee. And those are just the ones we know about. This violence is springing up everywhere. Can we just get real for a moment and just say, you know what? This is kind of a broken situation. Yeah. This is kind of a breakdown. This ain't good. Is it all right if we just say that? Is that okay? This is a broken world that we're living in. And sometimes it just comes right up beside you and shows its ugly self to you in full technicolor. That you're like, whoa, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. I think there's been a revival of that sentence. I've heard that phrase, like, it's been like a revival of that sentence. Some of you never heard that sentence. Well, I heard it all this week. World's going to hell in a handbasket. It is. How else do you describe it? The world is gone stark, raving crazy. It's a broken situation, and it's a broken world. We're talking things like race warfare, class warfare, political warfare, religious warfare, people killing each other, and it happens constantly. It does. It happens constantly. We're like super sensitive about it this week, but let me tell you, it happened last week. It happens so constantly in our world, all the brokenness. It happens all the time. People are reeling. They're just out of breath. I've seen more than one person say, I just can't even look at social media anymore. I just have to go into a dark room and just sit there. I can't handle this. People are falling apart. You know this, don't you? You've seen this, haven't you? Maybe you've even experienced this yourself. Just a moment of sadness, just a moment of you don't even know what to say. And the gulf between people seems so huge. All right. People have questions while they're reeling. People have questions while they're sitting in the dark room. People have questions. Questions like, how did this happen? How did this happen? It's the year 2016. This is so barbaric. I thought we were a very affluent society with very educated and, you know, how did this happen? How about this one? Where are leaders? I've seen that question a lot. Where are our leaders? Won't someone stand up, anybody, and say something that's unifying? Can anybody say something that kind of stops the insanity? It's been everywhere. People have been asking that question. How about this one? Why won't our courts pass a law that stops this madness? There ought to be a law. Newsflash, there is one. You shouldn't kill people. It's already a law. When will people see that our culture is hurting? I've seen people ask that. When will people see that our culture is hurting? When will people see the injustice that's happening in segments of society, some segments more than others? When are people going to see that? And when will people stop the hate? When is it going to happen? How about this one? What do I tell my children? What do I tell my children? I think we can all agree that we are facing a disastrous situation. Is that fair to say? I'm not like overblowing this, am I? No, it's pretty much a disaster. It's a disaster. If it gets any worse, we're talking atom bombs here. What do we do when we're faced with a disastrous situation? How about an unexpected disaster? What do we do? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Will you let me preach to you on this Sunday afternoon? All right. Disaster always has a way of finding us, doesn't it? I've entered witness relocation programs, but disaster has always found me. It always does, right? I'm like, I'm going to fix my life, make sure that never happens again. Just you fix one tire, the other one explodes. Everything is crazy. But this is nothing new. This is nothing new for our nation. This is nothing new for humanity. Disaster always has a way of just like finding you right where you live. Can I remind you that America tried its dead level best to stay out of a world war, yet disaster struck us in Pearl Harbor. We didn't ask for that, but it found us. People built their retirement and investment portfolios. They followed all the directions on how to build for retirement. You need a versatile portfolio right here. That way you'll never fall prey to a fallen, broken system. And so all of this they were doing in order to prepare for the unexpected, right? Guess what? How surprised they were when an unexpected recession just wiped out all their savings completely. Oh, it's happened. It's happened multiple times. In fact, they've got it on timelines. It's almost predictable how many decades it takes for it to happen again. By the way, it happened last decade. The clock is ticking. Just don't want to scare anyone. But people thought their 401k was guaranteed. They're like, what? I thought this was guaranteed. I thought I was set. But there are no guarantees when it comes to disaster. It is a coming. Relationship disasters, home disasters, national disasters, neighborhood disasters. They have either hit us, they either will hit us, or they are currently hitting us. Okay? Does that narrow it down? All right. This is not the first time we've been hit by a disaster in America. You would think by now that we would not be caught off guard. You would think by now that we would not be surprised. You would think by now that maybe it would hurt less because of all the calluses built up from the frequency of such occasions. But I want to tell you, no, not at all. It hurts every bit as much as any other disaster that's ever happened. Disaster is always unexpected. Disaster always hurts. It always makes our heads spin, our hearts hurt, and our blood rush. It always does. So, since disaster always finds us, are we doomed by disaster?
No.
Just throw in the cards, throw in the towel, whatever euphemism you want to use there. Are we to subscribe to the philosophy? This is a real intense, very learned philosophy here. We subscribe to the philosophy that life sucks and then you die. Right? Is that supposed to be our philosophy? Do we try to recover from this disaster only to be ready for the next oncoming disaster and it's going to lay us out cold just like the previous one? Just this awful cycle of, oh, that was terrible. Oh, get my legs out from under. Oh, that is so much. Back again. Another disaster. I want to offer you some help today because that is not what God wants for you. That is not the cycle He wants you to live in. That is not the world system or the world view or the philosophy He wants you to have. I want to offer you some help today. We focus on the disaster. We focus on the disaster. The news media right now, it's about 24/7, 100%. Focusing on the disaster right now. You name the disaster, it's focused on it. Man, let's talk about it. Is there a new angle of the disaster? Oh, we found another cameraman. Let's get his footage. Oh man, look at this brand new footage of the same awful disaster. And we're just like staring at it yet again. Why? Because we as human beings, we focus on the disaster. In fact, we focus on the disaster so much that we never move on from disasters in life. There's some people, they're focused on a disaster that happened 20 years ago. They're focused on a disaster that happened last week. They've got a whole photo album of disasters that they, every once in a while, they just get out the phone book and go, oh, I remember that deep, dark hurt. That was the worst. I still carry that close to my heart. Oh, I remember that. I'm still mad about that. And people have these disasters that never leave. We focus on the disaster. I want to tell you that most of our prayers are this: dear God, make the disaster end. Make the disaster go away. Just take this disaster away. If you could just make it go away. That's most of our prayer. Okay? I want to tell you real quick, that's not how you should pray. Okay? God has all the power to make your disaster go away, but maybe He wants to do a little bit better than just deliver you from this disaster, only to be hit by the next disaster. Okay? He wants to show you something so bigger than that. Most of our tension and hatred is a collection of disasters that have been brought upon us. Maybe we didn't bring this upon ourselves. Maybe it was the cause of someone else. Some people are still focused on those disasters today. Sometimes people have trouble worshiping because there's a disaster in their life. They can't sing this song about how God loves us, because how can that be true? Because I remember this disaster in my life. That's a sad place to be. Friend, if you're there, please talk to us. We want to talk you through that. There is a God of love, and He is worthy of you singing love songs to. Let me tell you, no one ever takes responsibility for the disaster. Have you noticed this? Right? We focus on the disaster. Everybody's just standing around looking at this. Can you believe this? But no one actually takes responsibility for it. The Republicans gather around this disaster and they start yelling. What do they yell? It's the Democrats' fault. And the Democrats gather around the same disaster. They go, ha, stupid Republicans. It's all the Republicans' fault. Have you noticed this? And we are so dumb that we actually fall for it. Oh, yeah, we are. We're like, that's right, it is their fault. That's right. Meanwhile, no one ever seems to say, you know what, I take responsibility for this disaster. I take responsibility and I'm going to change this. I'm going to bring change to this. I'm going to learn something about this, and I'm going to live life a little differently. We're not going to do things the same way we've done around here. Not on my watch. This is my bad, but we're going to change. We're going to do something about it. Nobody takes responsibility for the disaster. You'll have two groups of people just yelling at each other, and it's always the other person's fault. Do not go through life always pointing at people saying, man, it's their fault. Man, it's their fault. Sure, I could be successful in life, but you know, so-and-so did that one thing. And you know, I would have had a successful marriage, but you know, my spouse, blah, blah. And we're always pointing, do not do that. Do not do that. You'll just collect disasters, and you'll become depressed. You'll never be happy, and you'll never have the life that God wants for you. Do you believe that? If you believe it, say, that's right. So, how should we respond? How should we respond? Well, I want to tell you, you're not the first person in life disasters happen to. There's a person or two in the Bible that some pretty bad disasters happened to. I'm just going to pluck one, and we're going to preach about them for a moment, all right? Will you follow with me? We're going to talk about the disasters that happened to Joseph. Anybody know Joseph? We're talking about Old Testament Joseph, not New Testament Joseph, the carpenter and Mary's husband and the stepfather of Jesus. We're talking about Joseph in the Old Testament, all right? Joseph is known for what he wore, what he wear. He wore a coat of many colors. Yes, that Joseph, all right? This is not, don't get him confused with the guy that was in a lion's den. Don't get him confused with the guy that fought a giant. This is a dude that wore a nice groovy coat, dude. All right. Joseph, he's the Old Testament patriarch. He's one of the fathers of the faith. And you can read about him yourself starting in Genesis chapter 37. I want to tell you some things about him. We're just going to hit some bullet points here. He was his father's favorite child. Look at somebody and say, Joseph was his father's favorite. That's why he had that technicolor coat. His father gave that to him as just a symbol of his love for Joseph. But guess what happened? Joseph had some brothers. And they got jealous, and they betrayed him. And Pamela, when I say betrayed, I mean about as bad of a betrayal as can ever happen. Little Joseph, he's like younger than all of them. He's bringing some food to them while they're out on the countryside tending cattle, tending a herd. He brings them some food, and they see him coming. And they go, you know what? No one's around. Let's kill him. You want to talk about disasters? He's walking up to his brothers and they are planning on killing him. He's betrayed. They, instead of killing him, you know, they said, you know what? Let's sell him instead. It'll be merciful. will also profit. So they threw him in a pit. They saw somebody come by, a slave trader, and they sold their brother into slavery. They went and told their father, look, we found this coat. It's covered in blood. He must have been killed by a wild animal. So this, talk about disaster. He's betrayed by his brothers. He's sold into slavery. He went from his father's son to he has no family. And he's sold into a life that no one comes out of. No one comes out of this. But what did he do? What did Joseph do? Well, I'll tell you what he did. This father's favorite, he remained faithful to God. Joseph remained faithful to God. My goodness, Joseph could preach us a sermon because there's been less that has happened to us and we weren't faithful to God. There's been less that we've gone through this week and we were ready to give up on God. Are you serious? You ought to listen to Joseph for a moment because he remained faithful. He remained true to himself. He was the best slave he could be. Now, this is not a situation he wanted. It's a disaster. But you know what? He made the best of a disaster that he could. Yeah. And you know what ends up happening? The unthinkable happens. As a slave, he gets promoted. He gets into one house, and that man promotes him as over the house. He was the head of all the slaves right there. He made the best of a disastrous situation. But guess what? More disasters were coming. I'm so sorry, Joseph. But now Joseph is wrongly accused by his slave owner's wife. What's her name? It's Potiphar's wife. We actually don't know her name. We know the husband. It's Potiphar, all right? Potiphar's wife, Bible scholars. All right, he's wrongly accused. Wrongly accused of what? About the most despicable thing that could be accused, a man could be accused of. He was accused of raping Potiphar, the wife. He was accused of raping this woman. Yes. He's a slave. He's worked his way up, but now what's happening to him? The totally ruined reputation. And he ends up in prison. Worse than slavery, he's now in prison. He had no future as a slave. Now he's in prison. What a disaster. But what did Joseph do? I'll tell you what he did. He remained faithful. He remained faithful to the God he loved. And he remained true to himself. In fact, Joseph used his gifts and his abilities. You see, Joseph had some gifts and his abilities built into him by God. He had the power to see some things in the spirit. He had the power to see some things that weren't even there. He had the power to take dreams and interpret them and to prophesy the future. Yes. And guess what he did? In prison, he used his gifts. Some of us were like, we'll throw in the towel. Why even try anymore? Let's just give up. Disasters hit us. Just forget about doing anything more. Let's just lay here and die. Let's just get it over with. But guess what? He used these gifts and abilities, and once again, he was promoted. Once again, he rose to prominence. Even in prison, Joseph was given leadership status. Promoted as a slave, promoted as a prisoner. Everywhere this guy goes, it does not matter what disaster hits him. He rises to the top. I tell you what, the people of God ought to be just like that. It doesn't matter what happens today, you end up on top. It doesn't matter what happens today, you know who you are in Him, and you know what He said about you, and you know what He's put in you, and you're not afraid to use the giftings and callings that He's given you, even though the situation looks bleak, even though it's less than ideal. All right. But once again, disaster happens. He's forgotten. You see, he had helped somebody And they'd gotten out of jail. And they said, man, listen, I'm going to remember you, okay? You and me. Tight. Never to be heard from again. He's like spending all this time in jail. He's like, surely they're going to, you know, it's been a year. Maybe they've warmed up to, no, it's years here. He's spending in jail. What does he do when he's forgotten? He remains faithful. He remains true. And one day, unexpectedly, he was called before Pharaoh by that guy he thought completely forgot about him. That guy spoke to Pharaoh. And Joseph ends up doing the impossible through that gift that God had placed inside him. He went and prophesied Pharaoh's dream to him. It's an amazing story. I want to tell you this. Here's the end result. He went from slave to prisoner to second in command over all of Egypt. He's no longer a slave. He is no longer a prisoner. He is over everybody but the Pharaoh himself. What an amazing story. This is in your Bible. And most of you know this story. But when we face disaster, where is this story in us? Where is this Joseph spirit in us? Where is that faithfulness and that true you? Where is it? It needs to step up to the plate. Let me tell you, in a position of authority, Joseph was given a chance to exact revenge on his brothers. Instead, Joseph remained faithful and Joseph remained true, and he actually came to the rescue of the very ones who meant to betray him. Is this a God story or what? Do we need this kind of God story in the year 2016? Does Dallas need this kind of God story right now? My goodness. Joseph was hit with disaster after disaster after disaster. He was given very little hope. Nobody came and visited him and said, hey, I just want to remind you that God's still on the throne. Nobody came and did that. Nobody sent him a note. Nobody said, hey, ma'am, thank you. Nobody said any of that. Not appreciated for most of his life. But through it all, here's the truth about Joseph. He never stopped being the father's favorite child. Did you know that you're the heavenly father's favorite child? You're going through disaster, you're still his favorite. You're going through disaster, oh, if you only knew. He longs to clothe you in a special coat again. He longs to set you up on his lap. He longs to tell everyone how you are his favorite. Joseph was faced with unexpected disaster, but I want to tell you, he also took advantage of unexpected opportunities. All right. Unexpected opportunities. It's not what happens to you in life that is nearly important as how you respond. You've heard that before, right? Man, it's true. I want to tell you this. I want you to get this in your heart. You have never faced a disaster so great that it left you with no more opportunities. Yeah. And you might be like kind of bucking against that. You might be thinking about some situations that would be so bad that you would have no opportunities left. I want you to hear me out, because actually, no. You have never had a disaster so bad. You will never have a disaster so great that you are left with no more opportunities. I want to tell you that even if a loaded gun is placed at your head, you talk about a disaster. Would that be a disaster? Yeah. Yes, that would be a disaster. A loaded gun pointed at your head. I want to tell you, even that moment where you're facing death, even if that trigger is about to discharge into you, I want to tell you it cannot take away the opportunity to control what goes on inside your heart at that moment. Let me tell you, what goes on inside your heart is about as big as an opportunity as anything. It can't make you hate somebody. It can't make you spew out hatred. In fact, if these are your last moments on earth, you still have the opportunity to decide how you're going to spend those last moments on earth. If you've got some last words, you get to decide how those last words are delivered in what heart and what they say. That is an opportunity. You can't think of a situation that leaves you with zero opportunities. It's like God has created life for you always to have an opportunity. Stephen in the Bible in Acts chapter 7, he was being killed. What a disaster. People were picking up stones and they were killing him. Yet Stephen looked up and he prayed for them. Stephen looked up and he started worshiping Jesus. He said, I see Jesus standing in all the glory and the power of God the Father. And he started worshiping God. He started praying for his enemies. Man, in the middle of a crazy disaster, that dude took advantage of an opportunity that some of us didn't take advantage of today.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.